Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blumberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at Empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Hello and welcome to Trial by Content. It's the podcast where we force our favorite pop culture to compete in the Coliseum of contentious opinion so we can all decide what wins. Each week, your three...
I was going to say, this doesn't feel right. Something's off here.
Where's Dave? Dave isn't here.
Where did Dave go?
I'm Joanna Robinson.
And I am still Neil Miller.
Yes, Neil Miller. Dave, our beloved Dave Gonzalez, has had a medical incident. I'm going to use exact wording that he allowed me to use, okay? in the hospital, having non-life-threatening surgery. Actually, he already had the surgery. He's fine. He's on the other side of it. So he had to go to the ER, had some surgery. He's doing great. Neil and I are in contact with him, so he's doing great. But he's not going to be podcasting from his hospital bed this week. So that means we are pushing back the Spielberg Trial Royale at least a week, if not more, until Dave is back on his podcasting feet. Neil, does that mean folks should stop emailing us? What do you think?
Absolutely not, because that does not mean that we are canceling any of the two trial royales that we have coming up. We got Spielberg, and then, of course, we have baseball, and you can email your picks for either of those, trialbycontent@gmail.com. Also, shout out to a couple of the folks who have already emailed trying to nominate one movie for both of those trial royales.
Rufio.
I applaud your effort. Please keep those wonderful emails coming. We're going to continue to stack them up.
Yeah, run home, Jack. Okay, listen. What we're going to do today instead of our usual Trial by Content is, I don't know if you've noticed, but this week a ton of trailers and images and a whole bunch of preview stuff has dropped. So Neil and I are going to do just like a mini episode. We didn't want to leave you with nothing. So we're going to do you like a mini episode of like going through some of these trailers and photos and just talk about like the thing we're most excited about in all of these things that we have seen. So let us start with Neil Miller's big movie bet pick, Furiosa. What, call it a Mad Max story, I believe it is.
A Mad Max saga?
Saga, even better. Yeah. We got a second trailer. This movie comes out May 23rd from George Miller. Neil Miller, no relation. What's your Furiosa?
Unfortunately.
What's your Furiosa second trailer takeaway?
Well, I remain extremely hyped and very excited for this movie to come out. Looking at some of the results of like, not only now that we know the budgets of the other movies in the movie bet, but looking at Dune's box office, I feel like Furiosa's got a shot to get there.
Okay.
So I'm feeling pretty good movie bet wise. I still think that Chris Hemsworth and his cranked all the way up to 11 accent is continuing to be the MVP of these trailers for me. I want to see everything he's doing there. But I think my probably the biggest thing is there are in this second trailer alone, probably two or three shots of motorcycle stunts that I think are probably on par with some of the best stuff they did in Fury Road. Like there's one where like it's clear that she's in front of a giant truck and she like goes underneath it.
Yes.
And I'm like, and the trailer, which is really well cut, like cuts away from it. But I'm like, I want to see the rest of that scene. And then I started thinking, well, if these are the ones that George Miller was putting in the trailer, what is he saving for the movie? And that is honestly what gets me excited is some of these just little blips of the chase scenes that we get. I'm like, I can't wait to see the rest of that scene and the scenes that we're not going to get in the trailer. Because remember when Fury Road came out, there was a ton of action in the trailers and none of it was like the top tier stuff.
I mean, I think the pole, like the guys, in the pole, I guess the pole jump in the trailer, but yeah, there's like
a bunch of it.
Yeah. So much more. I love these trailers. I've been really baffled, even though this is not my pick for movie bet, I've been really baffled by the negative reaction I've been seeing online to the trailers, to the idea of this movie at all. From like colleagues at The Ringer to people I know in like real quote unquote real life to just randos on Twitter. Like everyone seems highly skeptical of this. And I'll just say, I just remember a lot of people being very skeptical of Mad Max Fury Road. And then that movie just like melted our faces off. This trailer has a metal cover of a David Bowie song. Check. A chariot drawn by motorcycles. Check. And as you mentioned, Hemsworth accent, which I would love for our Australian listeners. I think we have some trialbycontent@gmail.com. I think this is like him doing like a sort of hickish Aussie accent, but I could be wrong. I don't
like
have
country
the,
Aussie.
But, yeah. That's better. Country Aussie. I think that's what we're hearing. It's not his natural accent, I believe.
Sure.
So I would love to hear from the Australians, like what exactly Hemsworth's doing here. Cause I love it.
He is definitely leaning. Like he's getting into Crocodile Dundee territory, which
oh yeah. That's not a knife.
Okay,
yeah. Long vowels.
Okay. Do that big knife.
I see the vision. All right. we're just going to rapid fire this because we have very little time sure. And we have a lot to talk about. Beetlejuice. We were hoping we'd have a trailer to talk about. Instead, we got an Entertainment Weekly spread, but we got two photos. This is coming out September 6th from Tim Burton. Excited by these photos. Neil, what do you think?
Sure. I mean, disappointed that this isn't Beetlejuice Goes Hawaiian, which was Tim Burton's original idea in the 80s. Needs more little drinks with little umbrellas. But I'm into the cast. I mean, the ones who are able to coming back, Catherine O'Hara specifically. I mean, I recently rewatched the first Beetlejuice and Delia Dietz is
yes
one of her more just outlandish and wonderful performances. She just lets it fly. So I'm hoping that she gets to do that for whatever time that she's in the sequel. And I think the most exciting thing for me is the thing that made the original Beetlejuice magical, which is Michael Keaton's full commitment to giving you this character. But Michael Keaton, I think in the back of his mind, believes that this is a gift that he is giving the world. And he's right. Yes. So as long as this movie delivers that and maybe gives me one stop motion sandworm, I'll be pretty satisfied and I'll be ready for them to give me the third movie with the obvious title.
Okay. Things I discovered just today. Monica Bellucci is playing Mrs. Beetlejuice?
Sure.
Question mark?
I mean, I approve of Monica Bellucci in any role, but Mrs. Beetlejuice is fun.
Incredible. Keaton, having seen all the commitment that Keaton brought to the absolute like quagmire that was The Flash, he was so good in The Flash, a terrible movie. He's going to go full yeah. Beetlejuice.
And honestly, if I had to make a bet, I would bet that Michael Keaton likes playing Beetlejuice more than he likes playing Batman.
I think that's right. Timmy, I'm calling him that, Tim Burton. I don't get to be that familiar with him. Something that he said in the Entertainment Weekly article that was really bolstering is that he mentioned that they would be using stop motion animation, which is like his origins. We've talked, you and Dave and I have talked about Burton before. He like, Dave, I think of the three of us is like the biggest fan of Burton. But I think a lot of Burton fans have been a little disappointed with like, the CGI look of a lot of his latest
films. Pretty much everything
films.
Since Alice in Wonderland
yeah,
2010.
Exactly. Just ugly. And like Tim Burton's stuff used to be so beautiful. The original Beetlejuice is like a beautiful film. So the fact that he's like wanting to return to those roots makes me really excited. One of the photos, it's Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder. And they're at a funeral, and we don't know who the funeral is for, but like a thing that people are guessing is that is for Jeffrey Jones's character. And if you're wondering why Jeffrey Jones is not in this movie, who played Lydia, Winona Ryder's father, Catherine O'Hara's husband, you can go ahead and Google Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones.
Don't do it at work, but you can do it.
I kind of hope that it's not. Like, could they be? I mean, another actor that can't come back is the guy who played Otho, who is no longer with us. So maybe it could be them at Otho's funeral. I don't know. I don't even want a picture of Jeffrey Jones in this movie.
I just hope it's like rest in pieces, Charles Dietz.
Is that Charles Dietz is like a delightful character in the movie. So it's like, I'm sad that character died, but not sad that Jeffrey Jones isn't coming back.
Exactly. I also have conflicting feelings watching Deadwood. The only red flag on this project for me is based on a story by Seth Graham Smith, who just is historically not my favorite conceiver of stories. So that's a red flag for me, but everything else is green, 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 sickly, deathly, moldy green. And I'm very excited for Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. All right. Speaking of green, team black, House of the Dragon season 2 posters. Out of nowhere, literally days before Weiss and Benioff's new show drops on Netflix, HBO's like, hey, remember that dragon show we have? Fuck you, Weiss and Benioff, I guess. So they dropped season 2 posters today, this morning, Wednesday, as we're recording. They are teasing that a trailer is going to drop tomorrow, Thursday. Again, we're recording Wednesday. If you want to hear a full multi-hour, possibly, breakdown of the trailer, I do a podcast called House of R, and I'm pretty sure that's what we're doing on Friday. Unless they don't give us a trailer tomorrow, and it's actually just another block of ice melting to show us the release date. That is something HBO has done.
Hell yeah.
And I wouldn't put it past them to do it again. But we're hoping there's a trailer tomorrow. But for right now, all we have to go on are these posters. Neil Miller, House of the Dragon season 2, mid-June-ish is what we're being told. What are you taking away from the posters that we got?
Well, I mean, the posters look great. It also forced me for the first time in many months to open up my most browsed website of all time, the Wiki of Ice and Fire, to look up characters. Because I was like, oh man, there are characters I'm hyped to see, but I don't remember their names. But as soon as Alice Rivers' name appeared in front of me, everything clicked and the floodgates are open and the knowledge is coming back. So I'm once again excited to see what they do with House of the Dragon. I'm not super excited about how much work they did during the strike on this production, but we'll see if that has any kind of effect on the end product. And my other note on the poster is, it's just good to see Granny War Crimes again. She's in there somewhere. She's in the background.
She's
doing
behind
her thing.
A window.
Lurking, baby.
Okay, to parse through the like little details of this poster, because they released individual character posters, but they also released a banner of all of them sort of like stitched together. And you've got Allison and Rhaenyra, the two queens in the middle. You've got Daemon and Aemon with their like swords ready to go, right behind them, ready to go. And then you've got the shittiest king of all time, not of all time. There's a lot of shitty Targaryen kings, but a real shit king sitting on the Iron Throne with his crown. And it's a real amazing like flex, because if you go to the Rhaenyra side of the poster, there's like a table. Like, she doesn't have the Iron Throne and she doesn't have that crown. Mm-hmm. And that was like a whole big
also,
thing.
Also, she's
the end
wearing
of season
her
one.
Crown and he's like she's holding his, looking at it like an idiot.
Yeah. But he's like, yes, of course. She's wearing a crown, but he's got like the conquerors, you know, like he's got a crown. So throne, crown, all that stuff that's going on over there. The dragons, Vhagar and Maelys behind the windows, the seven-pointed star over Alicent to talk, like to denote the way in which she's going to like continue to use the church and the faith sort of to back her. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this show to come back. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and I'm excited about all the castle drama, soap opera-y nonsense that this will do. There's plenty of it in the source, but what we're really here for is those dragons fighting. We're ready for big dragon stuff.
Allegedly, there's going to be 5 more dragons in season 2.
Can't wait. We're going to have to update our most fuckable dragons list.
Oh my God. I forgot that we did that. Incredible. We're very professional people. Okay.
Mature humans.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Three more things to go. Rapid fire. Alien Romulus trailer. This is like more of a teaser trailer. This is a quickie. This is coming out August 16th. It's from Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe, Evil Dead. And it's set between Alien and Aliens. And it stars a largely unknown cast. They've been in some things, but there's no like Fassbenders or Elbas or anything like that in this trailer. And it just looks very close quarters horror with really, really springy, jumpy aliens. Like, there are so many jump scares in this trailer alone. Neil, how are you feeling about... I'm sad Dave isn't here. Dave's the real alien head. Oh, but yeah. How are you feeling about Alien Romulus?
I mean, I'm excited about these jumpy face huggers. That's really fun. I was disappointed, though, to find out that this movie is not about Kieran Culkin's character from Succession fighting a xenomorph. Alien Romulus, sort of disappointing, sort of a letdown. But I am excited about Fede Alvarez. I think he's got a lot of talent. I'm most excited, I think, about the fact that the Walter Disney Corporation changed its mind about putting this right on Hulu, directly to Hulu, and is putting it in theaters, because this looks like a movie that needs to be seen in theaters. And the trailer itself is really well cut to communicate something that I think is ambitious and dangerous, which is it's really has a desire to be lumped in with those first two Alien movies atmospherically and aesthetically. So it's like, yeah, that's encouraging, because I think Fede Alvarez could pull it off. And those two movies are awesome. If you're going to ape any movie, Alien is a good one, but very dangerous because you're kind of raising the bar, right? Like Prometheus and the other prequels they've done have gone off and done some of their own weird things. But if you're going back to the crew is trapped in a claustrophobic ship with a nightmare visitor formula, you're raising the bar, but also making me a little excited to see what you do with that. So
yeah. The shot of the shuttle opened with like all the blood in the compartment, it definitely makes me think of Aliens or the beginning of Alien 3, if you prefer. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it reminds me of speaking of like direct to Hulu, I'm hoping that we'll get something like Prey, which was such a fun movie. I really wish I could have seen that in like on the big screen in the theaters, but like just like a really fun film from a filmmaker who had obviously like grown up with the Predator films and was like, I have a fun idea. Let's do something that is like a little low budge, great concept, you know, adrenaline, short runtime, just like packs a punch. And that's what I'm really hoping for Alien Romulus. We're not trying to like add to the lore really necessarily. We're just trying to like play in this universe and Fede Alvarez's Evil Dead. gave me nightmares for a very long time. That's the first movie I ever saw at South by, actually. Were you there at the Paramount for that premiere?
No, that was one where I was standing outside waiting for people after they came out because I didn't go to that premiere. And I just remember everyone's faces being like three shades lighter coming out of that screening.
That was the first time I ever saw you, and I was too nervous to talk to you because I was like, there's Neil Miller. Oh my God, he's so famous. So the Evil Dead premiere, haunted me forever, but Don't Breathe is top tier horror. And I think that that movie is so much about navigating a cramped space and trying to be quiet and all that sort of stuff. And I'm really excited for this version of Alien. Ridley Scott's name is smeared all over this, but I don't believe he had much to do with it at all.
Sure. He was in some meetings.
Oh yeah. On a Zoom or two. Okay. Two more left. It's rapid fire. What's coming? The Acolyte trailer dropped yesterday. Molly Rubin and I already did like a 45-minute-ish breakdown of it on House of R yesterday. So if you want to hear that, you can go there. It's coming out June 4th, 8 episodes, double premiere. But I wanted to hear from you, Neil. Like, how are you feeling about this Acolyte trailer?
Well, I've been excited about The Acolyte for a while because I'm a big Leslie Headland fan from Russian Doll. I don't think we should forget. Just like we shouldn't forget that George Miller directed Fury Road, we shouldn't forget that these people have made good things.
Yeah.
And that gives us plenty of reason to be excited about their new things. Watching this trailer, first of all, very excited about seeing Trinity from The Matrix with force powers. I didn't know that I needed that, but here we are. Yeah. And also, you know, this trailer feels cut and sort of set up to give us a little bit of that Andor flavor, at least aesthetically. I'm hoping that it's going to give us that Andor substance, which would be very nice. And for me, this is a period of time, right? Because this is supposed to be set way before all the events of the Skywalker.
100 years before Phantom Menace. Yeah.
This is the time period of Star Wars that I, as a fan, don't know enough about or don't know much about because I wasn't a big reading the extended universe person. So I'm excited to see them go back in time and give us some history in the galaxy far, far away. So yeah, I'm digging it. And I think some of the action looks really cool. And why not? I don't know. Some of these Star Wars things, they feel like real coin flips. But,
yes.
One side of the coin is Andor, which is really great.
Yeah, I already talked a lot yesterday, both on Twitter and on the podcast, about how excited I am for this. And a lot of that excitement comes from the High Republic era that we're in that I don't know that much about, though I probably will read some books before this show comes out. Or the fact that there are probably no Skywalkers in this, knock on wood, or like all that sort of stuff, sort of similar to Andor, like liberates us from some of the story cycles that we've been kind of caught up in. I don't feel like this is a nostalgia play. This is, again, just someone, Leslie Headland, grew up as a Star Wars fan, apparently wrote Star Wars fan fiction in high school. And this is like based on some of her Star Wars fan fiction that she wrote as a teenager. So once again, we are seeing people who grew up as fans getting to play in the world that, you know, they loved when they were younger. And I just want to run one thing by you. This is no longer Storm of Spoilers. We are not like a spoiler podcast, but we, from our days of spoiler hunting, I just want to run a premise by you that Mallory and I have been having a field day with, which is like, we know a lot about all these characters, a bit about all these characters. And then Manny Jacinto in every single interview is like, I'm just a guy. I'm just playing a dude. I'm just a guy and a dude who gets swept up into the story. I'm the third lead on this project, but I'm only in one shot in the trailer. I'm just a guy. I'm just a bro. So I'm just wondering, Neil Miller, if you have any thoughts or feelings about this, press approach that we have seen before on other projects. Do you think Manny Jacinto is just playing a dude and a bro and a guy in a galaxy far, far away?
He doesn't look like a dude and a bro and a guy. And especially if his character, I believe, is described as a smuggler. There's no such thing as an unimportant smuggler in this particular fictional world.
First
of all, I love Manny Jacinto, and I'm not surprised at all that he very much understands the assignment, both on screen and off. I think this whole cast, like Lee Jung Jae from Squid Game, is amazing. I mentioned Carrie Ann Moss. Daphne Keene, who I have not seen since she was in Logan, is going to show up in this. And then Amanda Stenberg is excellent. And then we get Jodie Turner-Smith. Here's the thing, Joanna, that I learned from Ahsoka that I needed from Star Wars. It's like, sure, Jedi are fine, Sith are fine, I get it. But wouldn't Star Wars be more fun with more witches? And yeah, it looks like we're going to get some more witches here.
I hope they're witches.
They look like witches.
They don't seem like they're Dathomirian witches, but they seem a little witchy. And that's exciting sure. to me. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
And, I think thematically, very relevant, the line where she says, you know, this is about power. I think it's Jodie Turner Smith's character mm-hmm. says this is about power and who's allowed to use it. That's a conversation I can't wait to see Star Wars have in a smart way.
All right, so Acolyte, June 4th. We're very excited for that. And last but not least, and if you're wondering why we're rushing one of us on this call, I won't say who has to be in a meeting in a few minutes. Bonus item, the X-Men 97 animated series from the Walter Disney Corporation up on Disney Plus right now. I have seen one episode. How many episodes have you seen, Neil? Three?
I've also seen one episode.
Oh, one. Okay. So we've each seen one episode. There's at least two. They sent three out to press, but I only got to watch one. I had a blast and a half with the one episode that I watched. I was talking to a film critic, a TV critic friend of mine who wasn't enjoying it. And I was like, well, did you watch? He's a little older than us. And I was like, did you watch the animated series when you were a kid? He's like, no, I was like in college. And I was like, oh, okay. I do feel like you either have to have watched the animated series, the original animated series, or like kind of be in a kid fanish space now. That's who this show is for. And that means it's for me. And I loved it. And the fact that they're using a lot of the same voice actors, though, no, not all of them, but a lot of the same voice actors. It was just like a nostalgia injection into my heart. And like in a way that sometimes I roll my eyes at like too much nostalgia, and this just like really got me. And I just want to say, I was texting the Ringerverse crew and I was like, under 5 minutes before they say the word Sentinel, under 6 minutes before they show me Gambit's, I don't know if I want to say this word on the podcast, the lines that on a lot of Gambit. I texted it. I don't think I can say it. Anyway, my guy Gambit, who's always been my guy, is on one in this.
Yeah, he has like a 12 pack in this. Yeah. It's great.
Okay. Neil, tell me your X-Men 97 feelings.
I also had a really great time with this first episode. I would say, yes, it is a great nostalgia dip for folks who are our age and experienced the original X-Men 97 in the wild in the 90s. But I would also say that like the action sequences in this first episode rip so hard that it was giving me feelings that like, if you're a teen right now and you're really into Invincible, you're going to get the same kind of action out of this X-Men show, even if you weren't previously into X-Men. But, you know, the other thing I love about it is it's like an essential millennial soap opera, right? Because there's like a lot of fun X-Men action, but most of it is just, how do we get these mutants to coexist in this one house?
And it's a real world mutant style. I love it.
Real world mutant style. And I think that creates a lot of really fun drama. Also, this first episode, without going into the plot of it too much, accomplished something that I did not think was possible. It made Cyclops cool.
Yeah.
Like, you get to the end of this and I'm like, all right, I'll hang out with Cyclops more.
But they're also like making fun of his reputation of being like the worst. There's a great reveal at the end of episode one that had me going like, dun, dun, dun. So excited to turn into episode two. So yeah, these are all things we're excited or at least cautiously excited about. We hope you enjoyed our little like speed run of these various properties. Again, we just didn't want to leave you with nothing while Dave's in the hospital. At DA7E is Dave's handle on Twitter if you want to send him love and well wishes, or Grumpy Dave, DA7E on Instagram. If you don't fuck with Elon Musk. Spielberg trial royale probably starting next week, but TBD again is to see if Dave's feeling better. Thanks to Neil Miller.
The unfortunate part is that it now gives me an excuse to watch Jurassic Park like three more times between now and then.
Trialbycontent@gmail.com. Again, I'm looking for Australian accent comments. I'm looking for any of your reactions to these things that we talked about. I'm looking for Spielberg noms. I'm looking for baseball noms. I'm looking for more hook heads. Anything you got, give it to us. Thanks to Carlos Chiriboga for his work on this mini episode. And we will see you next week with something. We'll see what it is. All right. Bye.